from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Intentional Living, where we say good intentions come to die right here today, and your intentional life begins right now. We believe that. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. In the next half hour, we're going to show you how intentional living can help you not only hear about hope, but experience hope. Experience hope in your growing faith, in your family, in your finances, in your work, in your health. The five essential areas of life. That's what we're all about here. Helping you live your one life intentionally every day. If you have a question you'd like to ask me today about your life, about an issue you're challenged with, and how intentional living can help, our phone line is toll-free at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Love to talk to you. Just like Eric, who's called in from California. Eric, welcome to the program. How can I help you today, my friend?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Newly married to a woman, beautiful woman, that's generous and kind, has a big heart, but she has no children of her own. And I have two children. Unfortunately, they have two different mothers, and periodically I have to converse and see these other women. My wife does not understand, and I don't understand her not understanding. But there seems to be some tension, maybe some jealousy, and maybe some resentment.
Hey, listen, Eric, I think you said it, man. You said my wife, she's beautiful, she's wonderful, and all of these things, but she's got a big heart, which means she's a heart person, and she probably operates out of her emotions, and maybe she's been hurt. Maybe there's been a trust issue in her life. And obviously here you are interacting with these other women. You got another life that she knows nothing about, had no involvement in. And it's understandable that she's going to feel a little funny about that. But I think you said it well. I don't understand why she doesn't understand. And I think that's where I'd begin, man. Listen, Eric, you need to sit down with your wife and say, honey, listen, I want to understand. I mean, these are ex-wives. You're my wife. Okay, there's a question in her mind. Are they really ex-wives? Are they really out of your life? See? And then ask her to speak to you. What is she feeling? What does this make her feel like? And then ask this profound intentional living question. What one thing can I do to help you feel better about these interactions that I have to have? That's part of it. When you got married to me, you married the whole enchilada. My kids and their mothers. There's going to be a relationship for the rest of my life with these people. What one thing can I do intentionally that's going to help you feel better about that relationship? In other words, Eric, what you're doing is you're showing her that you honor her, that you care about her, but you're also facing the reality. Don't go behind your back. You've got to have openness and honesty. And I'll tell you, Eric, your call's a reminder of how complicated and complex things can get with blended families. And we see it every day. If you just joined us, this is Intentional Living. By the way, I'm live here today and our phone line is open to you. Maybe you've got some take on how you've handled that particular kind of thing in your life. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. One of the big messages of intentional living is that people would experience the hope, that we have in Jesus Christ. And we always love it when people call and tell us a hope-filled story. And I think Jana wants to do that from Idaho today. So Jana, welcome to the program. How has hope changed your life?
I think everything kind of started to go downhill in my life about the end of September. My mom died really rapidly of ovarian cancer. So I was kind of reeling from that. We weren't particularly close. And just because you're not close to someone doesn't mean you're not going to grieve when they pass. Right. And I think you start missing the things that maybe could have been. So that's where I was on a little bit shaky ground. And then I was working at a job where I had to work alone a lot. A man came in with a mask and a hood and a gun and robbed the place, tied me up. There was sexual assault. He left and I had to count to 2,000 before I could go for help. And I remember sitting there while I was counting to 2,000, feeling very hopeful that I was going to be okay. I kept meditating on that. Sorry, I get a little bit nervous.
That's all right.
that God works all things together for good. And I just kept saying that over and over and over while I was sitting there waiting to go get help. And I felt this great sense of promise that I was going to be okay. And not only that, that some really good things were going to come from it. So I actually, from the very first moment, had hope. I didn't know what was coming, but I thought good was going to be coming. And I've struggled a lot in the past with depression, with not really understanding grace and mercy and forgiveness. And now I just went into the lab, basically, to learn about these things firsthand. Because when you have some giant to forgive, you start contemplating forgiveness. And what does that really mean? You can't look at your circumstances. You really have to go back to looking at God. And what I do daily, in fact, I would say probably hourly, is that I think about God is going to give me enough of what I need to get through that day. If I start looking ahead, then I start getting a little bit panicky because he doesn't give me enough grace for next week. He gives me enough grace today. So I've really started to narrow my thinking down, and I think about his provision, you know, give us this day our daily bread. His mercies are new every morning. And I contemplate that a lot.
You know, Jan, I was thinking while you were sharing that the song that we sing in church about my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his blood, who he is. And for the believer, we have a different definition of hope. We live in a world today, it says things like, I hope so, or, you know, I just hope things work out. It's sort of a kind of a mushy thing. But for the believer, there's an element of certainty about hope. We believe that our hope is in a person. We believe our hope is in the reality of Jesus Christ and not in a hope so, maybe, perhaps, down the road. And I think that ties into all the kind of calls that we're going to get today, even starting with Eric. I mean, Eric, I heard him talk about this new marriage and his wife not understanding about his past and trying to put the future together, and he probably feels pretty hopeless in the process. To understand that hope is something that we experience, but it's also something that we cling to and then live out intentionally every day. Intentional Living, we're here to help you today live your one life. You only get one. To live your one life intentionally in Christ. I mean, that's it. This is a one life deal. The days are passing quickly. Do the math. We get about 27,000 days on the planet, give or take. Some less, some more, but about 27,000 days on average. And how we live every one of those days makes a difference. Intentional living is not about perfection. It's about making that declaration of your intention. And today, whatever it is, if you're sick and tired of being in debt today to say, I'm looking for freedom in my finances, I'm going to get there intentionally. If you're wrestling with your marriage, you're not communicating, you're not on the same page, to be able to stand up and say, today I declare that before God, my one thing to be intentional, my declaration is to really bring my marriage before God and become the man or the woman I need to be in this marriage to confront the issues that are there and do it intentionally. The first step in the intentional living process is to freely declare your intentions. And in other words, overcoming good intentions. Good intentions are a dime a dozen. I don't even know why they use the word good in front of intention because there's nothing good about them. They're evil because a good intention that's not acted on allows us to live in a world of illusion. And that's destructive. All right, come and join us if you want to add into the discussion. You have a question, comment, 888-888-1717.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, you may ask yourself, why do I give? I mean, there's so many needs in the world. Why intentional living? The reason my wife and I not only are involved in this ministry, and I know this is true for Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of the team, but also why we give actively to the ministry is because we know that lives are being impacted and changed. One of the, I suppose, unique attributes of this ministry is it's not only teaching. You know, there's a lot of great teaching ministries, many that we appreciate and support ourselves. But then we actually take what God's Word teaches about who we are in Him and how we're to live our lives. And then we encourage through our challenges, through walking with you, through everything that we do, from our events to the radio broadcast, to actually live it out. Our mission, our reason for being here in life is to bring glory to God, and in the process, we bring benefit to ourselves. So as we instruct and teach and love and encourage and see people make steps to grow in their walk with Christ, we see lives change. And it's one of the reasons your support is making a difference. So I would ask you to pray about it. We need your help. Just go to theintentionallife.com today for your support.
I just totally agree with the whole hope and faith riding together as sisters. My husband and I, we've gone through quite a bit together. And we both realize that the more we let ourselves go and we stop trying to be what God wanted us to be, if we would just seek Him, He would make us what He wants us to be. And so we wouldn't be living a defaulted life. So hope comes in realizing that you can't fly on your own. You have to let the Holy Spirit fly through you. And that's when you lose yourself and you find Christ. So to anyone going through something out there, there is hope. It's called realizing you can't do it on your own. Let Jesus.
Boy, that's so true. You know, that's the be before doing. It's a reminder we need to be in our relationship with Him. He loves you. He's chosen you. If you're His child, the Bible says you've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And as we really embrace the fact that we are renewed people, that we've been changed, it really sets our minds and our hearts in a new direction. And then we can reach out and live our lives because the power of the Holy Spirit is living through us. That's why we're here. Again, come and join us. Your support makes a difference. How do you do it? Give us a call right now during business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Intentional living, it's a simple message. To me, it's simpler than it's ever been. Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what intentional living is all about. And it'll transform your lives. This is the truth from God's Word. You know, it really is, and it doesn't get any simpler than that. When we understand that we can be who God has made us to be, then and only then will we find joy and pleasure and real meaning in doing what God has made us to do. But when we get that backwards, that's where I think the discouragement sets in our lives. That's an excerpt, by the way, from the lesson this month, Being Before Doing. It's based on the 6 chapters of the book of Ephesians. It's our featured lesson. It's up on our exclusive site for members. And for those of you who are currently a part of the team, I hope you're using that, sharing it with others, and finding some enjoyment and the benefit. If you're not, and when you join us in monthly support, we'll make sure that you receive access the code to be able to get to that site and use it. And we encourage you to share it with those that you love to be an encouragement to them. How do you join today? Your monthly support makes a big difference. A lot of people doing a little bit makes a difference. $1 a day is going to go a long ways. $30 a month or whatever amount God lays on your heart. How do you do it? Give me a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support. All right, back to the calls. We got Larry on the line. Larry, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
I'm a 46-year-old single male, and I'm raising two little girls. And I've been struggling. I mean, it's chaos in my house, you know. They constantly lie, you know. They fight with each other. Their mom ran out of them and they take all their frustrations out on me, you know, and I don't know what to do anymore.
Is mom still involved in her life?
In and out, though, you know. If she sees them for a little bit, then she comes in town for maybe a month and takes off, and they go nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just constantly in and out, in and out, in and out. Everything that I've tried to do, you know, it just goes out the window when she comes into town. And
yeah, well, that's very disruptive. How old are your girls?
They're 9 and 11.
At this stage, how are you doing?
I'm constantly under stress, you know. I'm constantly, it's a battle every day, you know. And I pray every day for some help, you know. But I just feel like the Lord is not there for me, you know. That's how I feel, you know.
Well, he is, brother. And I hear you. And I think we've all had moments where we feel that. I mean, even in the best of lives, there's moments when we just say, where are you, God? Where are you? We see that in Scripture. And you're overwhelmed, man. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're carrying this whole ball alone, and you start to get the thing moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden, mom shows up and messes everything up. And, you know, one of the things, Larry, for you, is we talk about hope. Hope doesn't only mean that we sit passively by waiting for something to happen. God wants us to act, and to live intentionally is to look at the problem and make an assessment of what's going to bring glory to Christ and what's the right thing to do. These girls need stability in their home. They need to know that you're there and you're continuing to follow through and you're being the dad they need. What they don't need is mom coming in, messing things up, and going back out. In other words, she gets her jollies, gets her little fill of whatever she's looking for, right? And then she's back out doing what she thinks she needs to do or wants to do. That in and out of the kids' lives is not healthy. And so I think you need to take some action. I don't know what that is. I don't know legally what it is. I don't know what kind of help you need, but you do need to get some help. You may need some legal help. You need to get some counseling help, and you need to get some help that can help you with the girls so you can get a break and take care of yourself. Because you are exhausted, man, and you're not going to continue to survive. And what'll happen, I'll tell you, it's a cycle people fall into. You start to feel overwhelmed, the expectations aren't being met, disappointment sets in, and then hopelessness sets in. And you don't want to get to that point. So take some action and do it consistently and reach out. Don't wait for someone to come and help you. Reach out. Call your pastor. Call a counselor. Get some help, practical help, so you don't have to carry this alone. Kids are so vulnerable to adults' behavior, and it's a reminder. Listen, be in or be out. Be in or be out. Parenting is not about me and what makes me feel good. It's about my kids and what's going to help them become responsible adults. We're talking intentional living today. You can join us, 888-888-1717. We've got Sess on the line with a question from New Mexico. Welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I wanted to just get your word on a couple of things. I was recently engaged since January. I was with my fiance for about almost 3 years, and kind of similar to Eric's story, his wife wasn't understanding the blended family, and my fiance didn't have kids. I didn't have kids, and I do have kids. I have a 6 and a 9-year-old, and it was kind of the same situation. He was having a hard time understanding that I had to, you know, converse with their father, and that it would always be that way. And so it came to the point where now, you know, we still talk. You know, I've moved out of the home, but we're no longer engaged or in a relationship. But mm-hmm. You know, we talk and it feels like maybe it's going to go somewhere, or we're going to work it out, and then it feels like it's not going to. And so it's been kind of confusing mm-hmm. as to whether just to let this go.
Are you pushing it, or is he pushing it?
You know what? It's kind of mutual, mm-hmm. but more so with him. I think he's pushing it more that he doesn't have kids, and he's having a hard time understanding, again, like, that I have to have, you know, I have to do, you know, exchanges with their father, and you know, their father, he has some things that he needs to work on in his life, and he's not the best role model at times, but that's...
Well, Seth, here's what I hear in your voice. I hear you completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
You're tired.
It's overwhelming.
And you've got one, and again, intentional living, Seth, is about prioritizing our life. It's sort of starting out with what are the main things I got to take care of. Life is full of a lot of stuff, but what's the big thing right now? And when I hear you saying the number one priority in your life right now has got to be raising those kids.
Yeah.
Not complicating it by having a relationship, having someone living in the house with you, talking about mm-hmm. engagement, not understanding. I mean, this is complicating his life and your life is what I hear.
Yes.
It's not just you. Exactly. It's him too. And not to mention the kids. I imagine the kids are probably thinking, now, where is he? They probably started to connect with him and now he's out of the house. And that's disruptive to the kids.
Right.
We have talked for 25 years, Seth, I've said basically the same thing from this microphone. When you got a priority to raise the kids, raise the kids. Don't complicate your life with outside relationships. Just don't do it. I mean, you got a priority, and your priority right now is to raise those kids, get them to a place where they can be on their own, and then at that point to really honor, to glorify Christ, to have a healthy, God-based process of building a relationship with a man. And if that comes, it comes at a right time with the right person who can understand what's going on in your life. What I hear you saying to me, Seth, is that you have no peace on where you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that the thing I'm struggling with is for the past couple of years, you know, everything was going fine. I mean, it was as if he was fine with everything, you know. He understood in the beginning that, you know, I had kids and he did great with them and they loved him and they still do. And like I said, we still talk and occasionally he sees my kids. But then all of a sudden it kind of just went like, you know, he just realized this is a lot for me. He didn't mm-hmm. realize it was going to be this mm-hmm. hard.
What is your spirit telling you, the part that's connected with God? What is God telling you?
I feel like he's telling me to let go of you know, of this relationship, and I think that's what I'm in the process of doing by moving out, and you know, the conversations haven't been far and few between, you know, and just trying to let go of that whole idea of marriage in the first place. You know, I've never been married before, and it was something that I thought, you know, it was going to be forever, and it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And
you weren't married?
I wasn't married before.
Were you married to this man?
No, we were engaged.
You're engaged
in January.
Right. So as it got mm-hmm. more to the place of, hey, maybe we're going to get married, if I heard you right, he was saying, hey, this is a lot. This is more than I thought this was going to be.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Seth, listen. The less, you know, those of us who have ears to hear, let us learn. And I would really encourage you as a brother in Christ that you really focus on your kids, really get through this period of loss in your life, really focus on your relationship with Christ and with your kids, and don't depend upon a relationship other than your relationship with Christ right now, and then really get into some counseling for yourself before you would look to the future with this man or not, to make sure that God is in the middle of it, and it's going to be a relationship that's going to be healthy for both of you, because right now it doesn't sound like it is for either of you, and certainly not the kids. Hope comes when sometimes when we take the action, we experience hope when we take the action that honors Christ. Okay, we're talking intentional living today. Maybe you relate to some things you're hearing, got some input you'd like to share, or maybe you have experienced the hope in Christ intentionally and want to share an encouraging story. Do so at 888-888-1717.
One thing I've learned in the years that I have served the Lord is you cannot base your hope on circumstances, happenings, or events. Because you can make plans, but the Bible says man proposes and God disposes. We had a star athlete for his son, and being scouted for pro baseball by age 15, traveled with the Pro Cub Scout team, and so many hopes and dreams. This year experienced our son going to prison, drug addiction that has increased from one drug to the next. Started out with Percocet, Xanax, given to him by a dirty doctor. The addictions of that for a baseball injury in the shoulder, and on and on. And, you know, my husband coached him all his life, and we had these wonderful dreams and in a God-given talent. But we have seen those seemingly shattered and devastated. And, you know, the word says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear was gripping when he first entered prison. I honestly, emotionally thought I would just die. But when I came to the realization that my plans, my son's plans, the baseball world's plans, were not necessarily God's plans. But the one thing I've learned is my hope is in God. My hope is in the blood of Jesus and his grace that is new every morning.
What a testimony. Thank you for taking time to really open up the pain point in your life and your family and just be so transparent and honest in revealing what your family has been through. We all find strength from the stories of others, and that's why we love to hear them. And the fact that you took time to share yours, we appreciate. We do pray for the best for you and for your son, that God has some great things in store for him yet. His life's not over yet, as so many could testify early on when having dreams and expectations, they don't get met, that creates disappointment and disillusionment, but continuing to trust God. Well, I hope you found some hope today. That's what we say our ministry is about, experiencing hope. We'd love to hear your story. What has God taught you about experiencing hope? Share it with us at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Stephen, Jennifer, and the rest of our Intentional Living family, saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow as we talk about newlyweds, rookie couples. See you then.